And we welcome you to Flowery Branch, 23-17, the final yesterday in Jacksonville. Great to be with Dave Archer. And, of course, Falcons head coach Dan Quinn with us here in this first half hour. Finished the ball game, just like yes, right?
It was great to see some of the messaging that we had during the week come to life. And one of the topics we talked about with the team, like, bring someone with you. Mm. And we were talking specifically the effort, the toughness, and the finish. And those kind of things, it came to life. And so it was great to see that. And I know you guys hear me talk about those topics a bunch, and that's what I want our team to stand for, those things. So for that part of our game to come to life, it was great to see.
Dan, you talked about the line of scrimmage, and that's where you're talking about the toughness really maybe blossomed to everybody else around it. But defensively, taking away the run game, eliminating their run game. And I know Yeldon didn't play, but they still had two guys that could run it, and they couldn't do anything. And then the other side of the ball, even though the numbers didn't add up, there were a couple tackles for loss that maybe skew the numbers a little bit. I thought your offensive line played on their side of the line of scrimmage.
And as you guys know, the balance, and you know, when you're as a linebacker or a secondary player playing the run, the play action that goes with that, that's a factor for sure. It is, and the TFLs they did a good job defensively creating some, but we knew it was going to be a line of scrimmage game, and for our guys up front, that style has to come to life.
And sometimes that line of scrimmage is at both ends of the field; it's just not in the middle.
That's right.
Late play in the first half, Kamal Ishmael's interception on a huge play, really time management the whole bit at the end of that first half. And then your last scoring drive where you convert 3 out of 4 third downs, and Justin Hardy, who hadn't had a catch all day, comes in and makes some huge grabs for you, Coach.
It was great to see not only the finish and then the way we started. I think Matt might have started, you know, 7 for 7,
right,
something like that. And then I think the last drive of the game, 6 out of 7 and 3 for 3 on third down. So the third downs for sure were a factor in this game, a huge factor, where I think we were right about 50%, and defensively we did a good job, you know, to stop them. So that was a factor for sure. We knew it was going to be a tough one, and we just had that sense going in. Both teams played a lot of 8-man front. It was going to be a line of scrimmage today, and I loved the battle to go for it. You felt that.
In your experience, Dan, when a guy in Wes mentions Justin Hardy, who had 3 big catches there late for you to extend drives, and it seemed like you were 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8. They were playing the run pretty tough. You wanted to eat clock, use the run, and then get the first down. Execution was at a premium there. How much is that for a rookie, first of all, work on his confidence to raise it? And then the confidence of the quarterback thinking, hey, this guy can make some plays in crunch time.
Yeah, knowing that that's where we're going, if this coverage happens, this is where the route's going to be. Yeah. And so I thought he has put in a remarkable amount of work in the development plan and all the work trying to beat one-on-one. And he's actually, because of all the grit and toughness he's shown, he's actually turning out to be a good special teams player as well. He's making tackles. He's a factor in that way. So as a young guy going for it, I couldn't be more proud of him.
Now, Roddy White, by the way, the leader of that receiving room, will join us in our player spotlight coming up at the bottom of the half hour here. I'm going to guess, to tell the truth, Monday's a little easier after a win.
For sure. It'd been a long stretch.
Yeah.
This team has experienced the good highs of starting, and then in that middle part where we had the lows that were really tough on us. And that kind of grit, and it's painful and to go through, but understanding the exact style that we want to play, understanding, you know, how hard you have to go for one another, those lessons are never lost. And wanted to remind them of that today. But yeah, back to the truth of it, the things we did well, we still have some explosives to get rid of defensively. They were able to throw it better than we liked. The turnover part went way better. There were some balls on the ground that we didn't get. We thought, we call those missed ops, where we had some fumbles that we didn't recover. But, man, I couldn't have been more pleased with the finish of the game, both sides.
Well, Arch has always been famous for the line of, there's a reason the ball's shaped the way the ball's shaped,
that
right?
That's the truth.
And yesterday, you just could not get it to bounce to you. I mean, you had 3 or 4 missed ops. So they really, one, the true fun, and Dave said this correctly, could have been a score, right?
Oh, yeah, that we thought so, too.
Score.
Yeah.
He thought that, too.
Yeah. So those are the ones. But I think this win started all the way back at Wednesday's practice.
Okay.
And the mindset and the attitude to come out, and we had just a terrible performance against Carolina, and how are we going to bounce back from that? And it was going to take everybody working together, getting it right, and that's certainly what happened.
Well, and it looked like you point to Wednesday, and that's the beginning of the week for the players. Your week starts today and getting ready for Carolina. But guys like Nate Stupar that had to step in and play, Philip Wheeler, guys that had to play – more minutes than they're used to. Yeah, yep. They sub in, and some of them play special teams a significant amount and still did. But then to make contributions, force the quarterback off his spot. Wheeler makes an unbelievable sack, big moment deep in their territory. Yep. So you had guys stepping up and certainly taking advantage of the reps they got during the week.
Yep, and Ish too, you know, where, right. yep. you know, for another one where William got hurt and he came in and played, you know, huge play down the goal line, taking away the flat to, you know, set up a score. Those are the ones and the guys that have these roles that when they're counted on, you come through. It's such a powerful feeling for the rest of the team, knowing you can be counted on.
How important in maybe the full 60 minutes of the game yesterday, Coach, was the start? Was the fact you did something offensively, put a marker up there on the board, you know, kind of yep. had the momentum early from that perspective? Is that a big deal looking back at it?
I think there was a couple things that stood out to me offensively that were ended up being really big deals. The one coming out, we knew we wanted to come out and play aggressive, and, mm-hmm. and that's exactly what we did. And then the second one, we had a tip ball that resulted in a turnover. They ended up scoring, and it was not a case of, all right, here we go. They took the ball and went down and scored again. And that part to me offensively was they didn't blink, they didn't hesitate, they went right back to it.
Talk about the assignment right there. The flat route, you're trying to get the ball flat on a three-step drop.
Yep.
You're looking for your edge guy, your tackle, to get the hands down of the edge defender and not allow him to elevate.
Right.
Happened twice on both sides of the field. One of them resulted in the turnover.
Yeah, and sometimes that happens in a quick game where you're trying to get the hands down. And I thought, let's give Jacksonville credit, too. They ended up playing some to get the batted ball. I know Chris Clemens, one very veteran guy who knocked one down who I know quite well. And
maybe too well.
Yeah, so good I didn't want to see that play. But, yeah, that was a factor, and they made some plays for sure.
Yeah, interesting team to play yesterday, too.
Yeah.
They had plenty at stake and played like it.
Yep.
I mean, they played very hard. It was a hard-fought ball game both sides, I thought.
And they had played terrifically just the week before, and I think offensively, you know, the amount of shots they had been taking down the field with some big plays, we knew that was going to be a challenge coming in with Robinson and Hearns and Bortles, the way they were throwing it, and the tight ends are a factor for them. So
yeah.
I thought there were some weapons on that team, and we knew that going in. We knew it was going to be a battle.
We talked about how good you were on offense, 7 of 14 on third down. Many of those there late in the game to extend
yep.
that. That long drive, that salt the game away type drive. We mentioned it right as you started that drive. This is one where the offensive line wants to win the game right now.
That's right.
Salt it away. And you pretty much did it with third down conversions. Defensively, you can't pitch better than a shutout. I mean, 0 for 8 on third down. I know you mentioned limiting some explosive plays on first and second down.
Yep.
But third down, that's where you're looking to be.
And for us, it's been a real point of emphasis. You know, we've not played as well on third down as we would like, especially in the lower ones.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a number of those yesterday. So let's give credit to the players in terms of just totally nailing the plan. The rushers trying to, you know, get the quarterback to move off the spot. We knew that was going to be a factor. So I think some of the long plays, the rush could have helped. And then there were some that the quarterback did move the spot to help. So they totally understand how that works together.
Interesting, because I'm now looking at it drive to drive and matching offense to defense. While you were kicking field goals and running 21 plays, you also posted back-to-back three and outs.
Yep.
Collectively, as well as the whole 53s played in a long time, right?
It absolutely is. And I think that showed with the starting field position where it ended up being, where mm-hmm. you know, they were, I think, maybe at the, you know, minus 20 or down near there, and we were out all the way at the 36. So that's a huge factor as it goes through. And I thought Bosch, you know, he nailed a couple that were inside. The Gunners
yeah.
did a good job of getting down to go get it. So we were really looking to play our style, and that included teams. That included the balance in the run game. That included playing, you know, really good hard ball run game stuff. So it didn't feel out of whack or that we did anything so unusual,
mm-hmm.
but we played like we were capable of playing. And that part was really rewarding.
You've talked about the leadership, and we're going to get a chance to talk to Roddy White here in a few minutes on our player spotlight, the all-time leading receiver in Falcon history. Yesterday, Julio Jones stepped in to come in that rarefied air by breaking Roddy's record of 115 receptions in a season.
I would say, but how close those two are, if there was a man that he would
yeah.
want to do
yeah.
it, it would be who. And I think it would be remiss if we didn't talk about Roddy and the leadership that he had. You could just see the focus that he has going in to help lead the group, the toughness. You know, he loves playing. You can tell. And but yeah, if there was a person that could break that record, I think he would want it to
well,
be Julio.
Well, you could hear it in Julio's voice. We had a chance to talk to him post-game in the player of the game segment we had. And the first thing he wanted to do was talk about Roddy. and what Roddy's meant to him and how much he respects him and how close a friend he is and what he's meant to him in his career.
Yep.
So I think it's pretty neat when you got guys that are that close. And that's what you talk about all the time, about the room, the building. And when you go through some tough times, like you went through these last 6 weeks, yep, the only way you get maybe one of these wins is because of the closeness of the club.
Yeah, when you don't have that, man, does it get really hard. It's already hard enough. And so when you have any fraction or splintering, that's when it gets totally challenging. That was not the case. And so that's why we're so excited to get back to work this week.
Well, the Falcons will turn their attention to the Carolina Panthers, and there's a whole dynamic there, not only for what happened a week ago in Charlotte, but the fact you're getting the quick turnaround there, but also where they are coming off a game-winning kick by Graham Gano up at MetLife Stadium yesterday. Real quick before we get to the break here, the red zone efficiency of yesterday, five chances, a couple of touchdowns, some field goals, things of that nature. All of that was a very positive experience yesterday in an area that has been frustrating.
It has been, and credit the coaches and the players. They spend extra time on that. We even did some more on Thursday, mm-hmm, in preparation for that. So you can tell the grind that they put in to get it just right. And usually that thing, you know, when you work and you put the emphasis on it, mm-hmm, that usually comes through, and that was the case.
All right, real quick before we get to break, time for this week's BMW Question of the Week. For head coach Dan Quinn, and, of course, during the BMW Happier Holiday event, Arch, chance for you to check out the incredible savings on all new BMW.
Listen, a BMW is a happy holiday.
That's exactly right. Now through the end of the year, United BMW in Gwinnett and Roswell. Submit your question online, 929thegame.com/askthecoach. Mark in Atlanta, what coaching adjustments will you make this week against a Panthers team from a meeting 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, Mark, when we got done the game, the question was, you know, what changes do you make? We went right back to it and say, okay, what were some of the things that that didn't go well? And there was a lot.
Sure.
And what were the things that looks that we had that we wanted to capitalize on? So we started that process just a couple weeks ago, knowing that this game was going to be coming around shortly. So that's where it starts for us, you know, right back from that game. And that started that Monday a week ago.
Two games in a two-week period, essentially.
Right.
3 weeks if you count the calendar for the preparation and that kind of thing. It's now starting to become a little more common in the NFL. I've counted four other games that are being played within a three-week window.
That have already happened or
in that are in
now?
The process of happening, right, in the course of the calendar. I haven't gone through the whole schedule. I've just kind of done it as I roll through week to week here. Is it different? How hard is it? What is? I mean, I think of the NBA guys that play one night, one place, or hockey where they play one, sure, night, one place and play, you know, two nights later or even the next night. Is it difficult?
I don't think it's difficult. You'll know the players will know each other and what, you know, a guy may block like or what this look is or what, mm-hmm, the release is like in man-to-man. So there's probably an advantage for the players knowing the opponent they're going to go against so closely. You know, it's as opposed to, well, we saw them last year, and
right,
I remember this, but literally 2 weeks ago. So I think the advantage, you know, for both sides goes to the players to say, okay, I know the style of the player I'm guarding or who has to cover me or how I'm going to get off a press. Those are the things I think that stand out the most.
Well, I don't take anything away from how well Carolina's played. 14-0, you don't do that in this league very often. It's a good football team. There is an element to their team that's ancillary to the game or it's on the periphery of the game, and that's how chippy they tend to try to play. Now, sometimes it's swagger, sometimes it goes overboard. It looked like it went overboard yesterday. Mm-hmm. Beckham and Norman got into something that didn't look like football, looked like a vendetta-type scenario. Now, Roddy's had a history of these guys over his career.
Sure.
What do you tell a team when you have a team? Because you had some moments like that in Seattle where,
sure,
you and San Francisco and all,
yep,
that kind of stuff. What do you tell a team when you know that's going to be a part of the element?
There's a couple of things. One, I think we already know they've got some great competitors,
sure,
and we do too. So it's not going to be a question of proving if you're tough enough. And especially when you're talking about a guy like Roddy or Julio in a matchup, like, okay, there's no question of that. It's going to be a question of keeping your poise and attacking as hard and physical as you can in between the whistles. And then line up and do it again, and line up and do it again. And the two guys, you know, when you have great matchups and great competitors going for it, mm-hmm, I love that. I think it's an awesome part of our game. The biggest storyline, it ain't about one or two guys. It's about Atlanta and Carolina playing ball. And the team that plays the best Sunday is going to win.
In the ball game a couple of weeks ago, it got to, you know, 21-0 in the first 20 snaps. sometimes does that work to your advantage the second time around, knowing that, okay, I've seen the haymakers.
I'd like to say I hope I never get to answer that
right.
question again, starting off. Yeah. But I understand where you're going with it.
I mean, you've seen them at the very best they can be.
Right.
Essentially, right?
Yes.
Does it help you?
No.
Okay.
And the only reason I think it was such an abnormal situation for what we wanted to play like.
Right.
So I think more than anything, we can't wait to go play.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say we're not giving them the credit and the respect they deserve, because they're a really good team. But that doesn't say that's how we want to play our football.
Well, and that's what I want to ask you. I think that maybe this will be part of what you were saying, Wes, and correct me if I'm wrong, Coach, you may have saw the best that they had to offer. They didn't see the best you have to offer.
Right, and that's probably
and
maybe
so
that was what Wes was alluding to.
Hard to try to compare, okay, I see what their best is, but I can't really compare because I'm not seeing our best against their best.
Right, and we know we'll get theirs, and they're going to get ours as well. And so that's why we're excited to play. They're playing really good football, and we're ready to play too. We know exactly the style we want to play, and when we fell way behind, we certainly weren't able to do that. So it's hard to play the style that you like when you're, you know, completely out of whack.
How much, and I know, Dan, you're so focused on between the lines and everything you can do to put your guys in position to be as successful as they can be. How much does some of the ancillary stuff that I know the players know about, I know you try to keep your head down, don't pay attention to, but taking pictures on the sideline and all the little periphery stuff that didn't have anything to do with people playing the football game, and it may go back to what you did with the answer on the chippiness of the game. I don't know.
Well, I think we all have lots of respect, you know, for how we want to play this game that means so much to all of us, to the fans, to the players. And so we want to make sure that we put our best foot forward about how we're going to play. And when we do that, we'll let the chips fall as they may.
Interesting. You, one of the elements of yesterday's game, and Dave and I talked about this at halftime, and it was something we kind of paid attention to as the second half unfolded. The tremendous balance you had yesterday offensively. The two-way game. It was as good yesterday, and even in the 5-0 start, and even at times during the tough skid you went through here, that run-pass balance yesterday was sensational.
I thought it was really on point. I thought Kyle and the O-line especially, you know, did a good job of the looks. There was a number of times, the touchdown one to Julio coming across. I mean, that looked as much like an inside zone run as you could get. And, you know, anybody who's coaching on defense would have respect for that one, I can promise you. So, finding the unique ways to use the guys in the play action, I thought that was a real factor. I thought Matt, he was a factor in as well, the ball handling in the play action that goes along with that. There's real art to that, as you would know, and that I felt that come alive as well.
Yeah, and the cool part about it, if you've watched Falcon football all year long, you would know that that's a very similar play from
right.
a design that Nick Williams scored on against Tampa Bay, just different player, different formation. That was the beauty of what Kyle came up with there. The quarterback. Been under siege
sure.
over the last 6 weeks, part of the position, what you go through. I really thought he showed a tremendous amount of resolve yesterday. Dan, you tell me if I'm wrong. Standing in the pocket, made a lot of late throws on third down to get you converted.
There was a number of pressures that came to us, and he really made him pay on a lot of those.
Yeah.
And the times they brought five or six at a time, the protection was on point. I can think of two examples right off the bat with Pat DeMarco stepping up to make one, with Free coming out of the backfield. He was a factor. He made a big block on one of the Julio ones that led up. So I thought, all in all, they really played together. And honestly, that's when we're at our best. The run game, the play action, working in concert with one another. You felt that. You know, we talked about bringing somebody with you. Mm-hmm. There was a bunch of guys who were doing that.
Can you give me a definition on what happened on the screen? I mean, you make a really good call by Kyle. You get the third down screen on third and 13, get two really good perimeter blocks.
Yep.
Free gets the first down. It looked to me like, and we saw the replay, and I know you didn't have the advantage of this, it looked like the defender turned his back.
Correct.
And did you see that on film?
That's what we saw on film, and I'm looking forward to getting some information back from the league on that. I always wanted, and not to criticize the official, I just want to make sure, I'm always educating the guys in the right way. So if that's a foul, then I want to show them and say, this is why. And if it wasn't a foul, saying the technique that you did was okay, it was just, you know, we missed it.
Right.
That's okay. And as long as we're getting to the truth of it, I always want to make sure if we're in that situation again, here's how we're going to respond to it. And so that's what I'm looking forward to talking about. I thought it was a really good play by Free.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't necessarily agree with the foul, but they threw it. And at that one, and then it would have been able to even take more time off or the game's over. But as it turns out, Some of the ones, that's how it works, where you got to go battle for it. And having a field goal there at the end to make it a touchdown game as opposed to a field goal game, man, that makes a big difference.
Yeah. The other part about it was, I think, and we were talking about it on the air, as all that was unfolding yesterday in your final offensive possession, there were several delays, several imbalances in the possession in terms of momentum. You'd convert a third down. There might be a penalty one way or another. There was a timeout here, a timeout there. Your team did not lose focus. They stayed on the task. And all the disruptions did not seem to fluster that group.
And I think that's when you know you have the poise. When whether it was a penalty, okay, that's a setback. It's not going to stop us. We're going after it. We'll get it again. And so there's a number of those opportunities that came up.
You had a couple guys get banged up. A couple of your young guys got banged up. I know you don't want to talk about injuries maybe until Wednesday. Vic made reference to the fact that he hurt his shoulder and had been playing. It looks like he is a guy that continues to turn it up each and every week and plays a little better.
I think there was a story about his shoulder, but he did get banged up all the way back in OTA. So he's not missed any time in training camp, not any time in practice. So much like a lot of guys who are dealing with something as part of ball.
Absolutely.
So it's no extra stuff of that. I thought on the one where Claiborne had a sack, there was another rush by Vic that was good. That's when two guys, you know, are working together in balance. That's what makes, you know, pass rushing the art that it is, because it's guys working together. When you're not on the same page, much like an offensive lineman, when they're not together in protection, it's just the opposite on the defensive side.
Are there some encouraging signs in there, Dan, as you look forward? And you got to concentrate on now, but there is an eye to forward and what this team might look like. And guys that are developing, do you see the signs that you're looking for as far as that pass rush starts to go?
We have, and it starts with the speed, you know, and having the quickness and the movement. So we put Jared inside some, moved Claiborne outside some, and we're just going to keep churning to find the right combination to go hit these guys.
Interesting. You mentioned it in our first segment, Paul Warlow's injury that put Nate Stupar on the field.
Yep.
Kamal Ishmael's out there for William Moore. Both guys have played really well for you. Stupar yesterday, but I thought Kamal the last couple of weeks has really helped you.
And he has. And so it's always in-game where he didn't get some of the reps in practice, you know, where it can be especially challenging. And so Nate, you know, he split some with Wheeler some. But when you come through for your team, it just has this lasting impression on you, and one that we're really pleased about. And Shane Graham's another one who, you know, has had to step up for a really good player in Matt Bryant. And so for him to have the veteran presence come in, he's done a great job.
Boy, he's been pretty good for you. That was a good. That was a nice kick there at the end to make it a touchdown to go beat you. Dan, you played Cam, we mentioned, a couple of weekends ago. This week it's Bortles, a similar guy that has the athleticism to move. Is there any benefit that now stacking a couple of weeks, and not that you necessarily want to play against these kind of guys, but that you have a little bit of tape or a little bit of knowledge of what you guys need to do to defend a guy that can move and make some plays?
Sure, and I think it's going to be more commonplace when you guys know from covering some college football where all the mobile quarterbacks, they're up and coming. So if you're not already thinking that way, here's one already in the division who can move like that. Here's one, you know, that we played in Bortles who can move like that. And it's just a natural part of the game where there's some – the athletes who are now have the run-pass option who can get outside and go. It's a factor. I don't think there's going to be less quarterbacks, you know, over the next, you know, drafts, you know, for the next 10 years. I think it'll be more.
Yeah, you're right. The conventional drop back passer is becoming a rarer sight, I think, in the college game.
Yeah, it certainly feels that way. So I'm especially looking forward to when you see those guys through the draft process. Now that I've gone from the offensive side, I've done it for probably a couple of years just to get a feel for who the quarterbacks would be. And now last year, my full year doing all the positions. So I'm looking to point out to the quarterbacks of who's there and what unique stuff they have. And Bortles was certainly one that, you know, we knew he had speed to get outside.
Coach, Merry Christmas. We'll see you on Sunday.
Merry Christmas to you guys. And look forward to seeing. We can't wait to be back in front of our fans.
Yeah.
It feels like it's been a long time. And we're just so jacked to be back in front of them. And in a game, we're ready to play.
Let's wrap a big pissed Christmas present. It's got Carolina paper on it. Let's just tear that back. How about that?
Here is the 11-year veteran, Sherrod Lamar White, with us here on the show today.
How y'all doing today? Doing pretty good.
We're good, know? Yeah. You doing all right?
Mondays are always good when you win.
Roddy, you've been here through virtually anything that this team could possibly see, the highs, the lows. How tough has this last 6 weeks been?
It's been real tough, you know, because I felt like we let a lot of games that we should have won. We let them get away, and we put ourselves in a bad opportunity. You know, we also did some things that's very not characteristic of us Falcons. And, you know, for the last 4 or 5 weeks, we've been turning the ball over at a consistent pace. you know, and it just has it's been our demise. You know, it's kind of like just kind of tore us up on offense and, you know, put us behind the eight ball.
How frustrating is that for you then to magnify that? You're one of the leaders of the team, all-time leading receiver in Falcon history, and maybe not getting to contribute quite as much as you probably think you could, and I think a lot of people thought you could. How frustrating has that been to multiply it?
It's been a little frustrating. You know, it just comes with, you know, the territory as getting older as a vet, you know, accepting new roles on the team and things like that. You know, in some games I felt like, you know, I could have helped us win those games, you know, and things like that. But, you know, it is what it is, and that's the past. We just got to continue to move forward and get better. And, you know, try to win these next two games.
Every team is different. What's this transition been like for you in terms of going from what Smitty did and the offensive sets there, and obviously now DQ comes in here with a whole different dynamic in terms of philosophy and practice plans and so forth. I mean, I know veterans are kind of used to this concept, but change is change, right?
Yeah, change is always going to be different. I mean, I love, you know, what DQ brought. It's a new energy, you know, and it was a new voice, you know, and he changed a lot of the culture around our locker room, which, you know, all the players loved it, you know, and but it didn't have anything to do with wins and losses to me because of his attitude and what he brought to our team. It was just like the demeanor and how we carried ourselves, how we played football was a lot different, you know, a lot more physical, getting after guys, you know, always preaching, you know, finish down the stretch. You know, and when Smitty was here, it was always get off the fast start, start fast, you know, which I thought that we needed to do because that team, you know, we played by our offense. So if we started fast, we hopped on people, we could pass rush and get turnovers that way. But it's a different philosophy now. We go out there and we literally smack people in the mouth on defense and we get turnovers, you know, week after week after week, which is great, you know, by those guys. But, you know, as an offensive group, we just got to hold on to the ball. You know, and just kind of finish. You know, that's been our demise. You know, these last six, seven weeks, we've been in fourth quarter, we've been in games. I think the only game we've really been blown out is Carolina. You know, every other game we've been right there, and you know, a turnover here, a turnover there, and you know, we get those L's, and you know, they just started to multiply. We couldn't play our way out of that funk. You know, and I always told the guys, you know, we gotta play our way out of this as an offense. You know, our defense is playing well. You know, they were consistent for about, you know, 6-7 weeks and not even giving up 20 points.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, those are games that we should always win, you know, with the firepower we got on offense. So it was frustrating.
You recognize the voice. It's Roddy White here on Player Spotlight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All-time leading receiver in Falcon history. Owns virtually every record except yesterday. Your good friend Julio Jones, a guy who has a tremendous amount of respect for you, and I want to ask you about that in a moment. Your thoughts on him going by what 115 catches in 2010 shattered the mark that was here before. He goes, he has now 119 through 14 games. Your thoughts on him reaching that mark?
Oh, man, I wanted to catch him. I wanted him to catch like 145 or something, like get the all-time record. You know, when we was early in the season when he was pacing, I was like, this could be good. You know, we break a couple milestones this year, but. You know, I love that guy, man, and everything he brings to the game, his attitude and, you know, his respect for the game and, you know, for the players in the locker room and, you know, how he practices and how he goes out there and battles each and every week, man. He's an all-time competitor, you know, and I love that about him. And we just need him to continue to play like that, you know, for us to have an opportunity to win, man. And he's been lights out, you know, all year round.
You what? Talked about, yeah, real quickly, yeah. Russ, I'm going to finish up on that. You talked about in your young career, Joe Horn came in here as a veteran player that helped you teach you a little bit about work ethic and teach you about being a player. That's who Julio says to you are to him. You taught him how to play the game at this level, how to prepare at this level. He has a tremendous amount of reverence for you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just wanted him to be as special as he could be. You know, when a guy walks into the door and, you know, and it was crazy because this is a funny story. We're out there at High School.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the lockout year. So we draft Julio, so we don't get no time at the facility. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're just out there, you know, literally playing catch against the defense. And I come out there one day and I just wanted to watch him, you know, do things. And he's just out there just doing everything naturally, you know, without nobody ever coaching him or anything. And that's what's so hard to teach young guys when they come into the league is, like, the things that being physical at the line of scrimmage, you know, getting back into routes, you know, sinking your hips. Like, he was already doing all that stuff, you know, in 707 and, you know, one-on-ones while we were at Buford High School. So I was like, this guy's going to be special. So my job was to just keep it going, you know, just keep the fire going as much as possible. Just, you know, just keep him in the right direction and just, you know, just keep him focused, you know, and his ability to take over after that.
Well, it's interesting because he may have gotten a record of yours yesterday, but you moved into a pantheon of receivers. Not only are you now in the top nine of active career receivers in terms of receptions with 802, there are only eight other guys currently playing in the league that have more than 800 receptions in a career, and you're top 32 all-time in receptions now. I mean, I know when you come out of UAB and you show up here, you're not thinking about
no,
stuff
I
like
didn't
that.
No, I think I was going to catch 800.
Right. But that's what's happened. I mean, that's pretty good, Roddy.
Yes. I mean, it's been a good run. You know, it's been a really good run for me. You know, I had some years where I went on a little streak where I was kind of rolling, you know, and, you know, it just kept building up. But, you know, I didn't really pay attention to it until people started talking about, like, you caught 800 passes. Like, I was like, yeah, you know, I caught 800 passes, but I mean, I want to win a Super Bowl.
I understand. Yeah.
But I mean, it's a great achievement for me from the day I got into this league and, you know, the Falcons brought me in to this point now. It's been a lot of ups and downs, ebbs and flows, you know, throughout my whole career. And you know, I just try to be as consistent as I could be, you know, and that's what I pride myself on. You know, once I got my act together and, you know, Joe came in here and helped me out. You know, he just always preached consistency, you know, and that's what I preach, you know, in our room each and every day, you know, because really our team is probably led by the wide receivers and our demeanor and, you know, how we go out there and get after people. So, you know, I just got to be, you know, the leader in that room and just try to be as consistent as possible.
Six consecutive 1,000-yard seasons, four Pro Bowls, the all-time leading receiver in Falcon history, Roddy White with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Okay, Roddy, here comes a guy that you have some history, or really a team you have a long history with. You've broken these guys' backs with monster catches as early as 2012 when you made two big catches to help beat these guys and get yourself in an NFC Championship game. But there's a chippiness to their DBs that kind of goes along the same route that your career has been. Doesn't matter if it was Josh Norman, Cap'n Muddlin, whoever it is. Your thoughts on kind of the way they play it, and why is it such a chippy game between you two guys all the time?
I just feel like it's been us in New Orleans, and we always wanting to beat New Orleans, and, you know, them always being really good for the last 4 or 5 years.
Right.
And I think it just transitioned. Like, we started winning games, and then we started winning division, and then Carolina felt like they needed to, like, knock us off the top, you know. And it just became like, all right, this is the new rivalry for us.
Right.
You know, and it's just chippy. I mean, that's the way how they play defense. They fly around to the ball. They get after people. And, you know, that's what we do on offense, especially at the wide receiver position. So we're out there banging and fighting all the time and, you know, just having a good time. Me, I'm having a ton of fun out there, you know, getting after people and stuff like that. So, you know, it's all fun, man. It's all fun.
It is interesting because you talk about leading the wide receivers. You are the guy. You're going to protect your team here.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no question about that, right? Absolutely. And they know it and you know it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. If a fight starts out there, I'm probably, like, the guy in the middle of it, you know, the majority of the times. You know, but it's just my competitive nature, man, my competitive edge. You know, I bring it each and every Sunday, and I just can't turn that switch off. You know, so whenever I get to where I can't turn it on no more, then I think I'll hang up my cleats. But as of this point right now, man, I just love going out there and just competing as much as possible. And, you know, this is a big game for us. You know, mm-hmm. We went down there to Carolina and did absolutely nothing. You know, and they play well. I mean, they've been playing well for the last 14 weeks. But, you know, we got to get some get back, you know, and go out there and do what we got to do and try to get a win.
I don't know about you, Roddy, but I was kind of hoping that they found a way to win the Giant game.
Me too.
Because I want you guys to have the opportunity to take care of business, and I know you do too.
Yeah. I was scoreboard watching while we were kind of playing, you know, got towards the fourth quarter, and I was like, and it got tied up, you know, at 35-35. Like, oh, no, don't win, don't win. Don't let them, you know. I wanted to come down to, like, the showdown in the Dome, and, you know, we get after those guys and, you know, try to get us away.
Let's take our final 4 minutes here on a couple of things. One, a lot of rules here, a lot of policies and procedures on the game and the flow of the game as it relates to quarterbacks and illegal contact and things like that. What's the biggest change you've seen in the game, either directly affecting you or affecting the game?
Because
oftentimes you've been litigator during some discussions amongst officials.
Yeah, I think you've secured a law degree out there on the field.
You're working on a
no,
JD
I
for
just
sure.
like talking to the officials to see what's going on, you know, what's their mindset. I tend to go around and huddle up next to them and see their point of view of the play. And what did they see, you know, and what I'm telling them that I did, you know. So it's a totally different aspect from them seeing and me telling them, you know, what's going on during the play.
Would this be some of those calls that have been apparently holding calls?
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Yes. So, you know.
But what's the biggest change in the game? Biggest change in the flow of the game, I guess. Is it illegal contact? Is it the stuff like that?
No, not really, because they don't call illegal contact on the good players. It's not consistent. Like, for me, it's like, okay, when the good guys, well, the good corners in this league, all of them, really, they do a really good job of holding. That's the really good ones do, you know. And because it's hard to guard guys nowadays with all the rules and emphasis that they put on all the rules, you know, for the referees to, you know, judge illegal contact or anything. But if you stated by the rule book, you can't touch me after 5 yards, you know.
Right.
But if down the field, you have to bump and tussle with these guys. I mean, even have a chance to slow us down. You know, if you can't touch Julio after 5 yards, I mean, good luck trying to guard him for 4 quarters. You know, so, you know, that's been a big emphasis and, you know, how they guard people and, you know, just the emphasis that the referees put on certain players. That's my thing. You know, that's been the biggest difference in the game is – you know, if you touch Tom Brady in any sort of way, they're going to throw a penalty flag, stuff like that. You know, and, you know, sometimes my quarterback gets his face mask grabbed and we don't get no penalties. I get upset about that, you know. So
how much longer do you want to play the game? Have you thought about that yet? I mean, you had 80 receptions last year for over 900 yards and 7 touchdowns. So we're not removed from a big-time year from you. So
yeah, I just want to play until we can have a party on Peachtree, you know, with a Super Bowl banner. And you know, but, you know, I would hope I could play until a new stadium gets up,
okay,
you know, and walk out of the tunnel, and that'd be my last hurrah. So
any thoughts, do you allow yourself to do this? Because this is a foregone conclusion in my mind. I think anybody's mind that's in that building across the street from us here at Flowery Branch, that your face and banner will be hanging in the rafters one day. Have you ever thought about that?
I haven't thought about that. You know, I've just been busy trying to play and just win games. You know, these guys do a good job of telling me that every day, though. Like, one day, you know, you're going to have a banner, you know. You know, that's going to be hanging up in the stadium. You know, I hope that happens. You know, it'll be something special for my kids and stuff like that. My family always know that that'll be up there, you know, for the rest of my life and so on and so on. So, I mean, it'll be a great achievement if it happens. But, you know, right now I just want to play football and win as many games as possible.
Always great to catch up with you. Thanks for the time, man.
Thank you all for having me on.
It's been a great pleasure, Roddy. We've watched all 802, called every one of your 802 catches. And I can't wait. I want you to put another – we need another
198,
put you over 1,000.
198?
Yeah. Oh, we get that?
We can get that.
Okay. I like that.
I got to get some more balls thrown, but we can get that.
Roddy White joining us on the Player Spotlight on the Dan Quinn Coaches Show. For Dave Archer, Wes Durham, we'll see you Sunday at the Dome, 1 o'clock kick.